Remember when Demi Moore was founding member of the Brat Pack? She and then-boyfriend Emilio Estevez pole vaulted off of 1985 St. Elmo's Fire. Then there was Ghost. Oh, Demi throwing a pot on a wheel, her lover Patrick Swayze guiding her. Come on! A buffed Demi Moore in G.I. Jane stonewalling an interrogator.
What is your father's name?
Dad.
How about brothers or sisters? You got any of them?
Dick, Jane, and Spot.
And of course, there's Demi, the favorite of the tabloids, married to Bruce Willis, posing naked and pregnant on the cover of Vanity Fair. Everywhere with the much younger Ashton Kutcher. But in her enthralling new memoir, Inside Out, we also find out about a completely inappropriate childhood with teenage parents, episodes with drug addiction, body shaming, and a warning, a rape, which we'll talk about. We may not get into the threesome that Ashton requested, or the time she found out her dad was not her dad, or how she had help him pry suicide pills from mom's mouth. There's only so much time. Demi Moore joins us now from NPR West in Culver City. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
And you let us know right at the start that it almost doesn't end well. It's a very brave launch of a memoir. It involves a 911 call. But you pose the question, how did I get here, this moment that you describe? And then you lay out the answer by going back to the beginning, born to an 18-year-old, beautiful mom, your dad, not much older, a charming gambler. His luck would run out. They'd move. This must have been frightening as a child.
You know, the thing you always have to keep the perspective of is you know what your baseline is. So you can step back and look at it and go, wow, that would be terrifying. But if it's what you know, it's all you know.
Mm. You then learn how to adapt in a new place. You're always trying to figure out who am I? Where do I fit in? And it sounds like the phrase that you hear a lot, you faked it till you made it. And even when it came to acting.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Then what are the chances you meet a 17-year-old Nastasha Kinski at a pool? She'd been brought over to the U.S. by Roman Polanski to star in Tess. And you say it was watching her. She's supporting her mother at this point. That's when you realized you wanted to be like her. What was it?
We had so much that was similar, but yet I felt this huge divide because I was watching someone who was so self-possessed. She had a comfort with her sexuality and her body in a way that was absolutely foreign to me. Mm. And it just, from where I was sitting, seemed to be more free and more, just more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, because you're feeling completely unsafe and not protected by parents and not at all sure of yourself. And so you take on this kind of like, well, I'm just going to, again, fake it till I make it. And that brings us up to you leave home at 16. Your mom had already been letting you drive without a license for quite a while. I mean, just crazy stuff. And
yes.
Yeah. Producer Joel Schumacher sees you. There's so much here that we have to kind of move through it and put you in St. Elmo's Fire. But also at this point, and now I think you're about 21, with addictions. Schumacher tells you one beer and you're fired. You find out later he helped get you into rehab. You know, you were forced to choose a film or a drink. What a lucky break.
If I had needed to do it just for myself, I didn't value myself enough. But the fact that they stood by me still allowed me to step in to do the film was truly divine intervention that gave me something that meant more to me, which was to do the film, and allowed me to start to begin to find some value for myself.
How shocking was that for you at that age? I mean, again, your parents, just incorrigible, and you'd sworn you weren't going to be like them, and in so many ways you weren't. Hardest worker, you. And yet to find yourself with one of their flaws.
Shocking only, you know, for a limited moment, because my path had been just continue to move, going as fast as I could, forward, forward, forward. And certainly, you know, there wasn't any place to, like, I could be shocked, but who am I going to turn to deal with that?
Right. Again, we have to fast forward because there's so much. Now you're having success, and you're becoming something of a symbol, a sex symbol in some ways, but you pose naked and pregnant. You liberate pregnant women. This is Annie Leibovitz's famous picture in Vanity Fair. You play a pole dancer in striptease. I'm really getting ahead here. You give those workers dignity. You're having this impact on other women. And we never hear you say, you know, fans would say this to me. Were you completely unaware or unable to see or feel how people felt about you?
I think yes and no. Certainly with the Vanity Fair cover, I was able to really receive the acknowledgments for that. Mm-hmm. In other ways, you know, the films, no, because at that time I was being dissected and criticized so greatly that it was hard to really feel or see that it was making a difference.
Which brings us to your relationship with men, because as you're talking, you just couldn't receive this good will. You find out, it's stunning as a young child, that even though you and your dad had lazy eyes, he's not your dad. Later, there's a guy named Val. You name him. A friend of your mom. He forces himself on you. He rapes you. And insinuates later, your mom sold you to him. He asks, how does it feel to be whored by your mom?
Yeah, for $500.
How does this shape your relationship with men?
Up until maybe 15 years ago, maybe not even that long, I wasn't even able to identify it as rape. I just assumed it was my fault and one of those things that I did wrong. Mm. That moment, one, I became an orphan because there was no way that I could even entertain that question.
Your mom's role.
Yeah, and I think my way of dealing with it was just to forge ahead and know that I better create something for myself because I couldn't trust anything anywhere else. But as it relates to men, yeah, it would be impossible for it not to be a filter through which everything that occurred for me was affected.
Well, you say that question that you ask at the beginning, how do I get here? Which at the end is, you know, falling off the wagon. Your children with Bruce Willis aren't speaking to you. And you're realizing, wait a second, one of the ways you got there is you chose men with the same qualities as your charming dad and turned yourself inside out, the title of your memoir, trying to please them. I just want to talk briefly about those other men. I mean, Bruce Willis sounds like he's a guy who wasn't ready for marriage. You have forged a friendship with him. You're raising your children together. Ashton Kutcher, he was 25 to your 40. But you write, you still felt like 15, hoping somebody would like you.
There can be real areas of emotional stunting that occur. I started having a family at 25, and so most of those early years were already focused on being extremely responsible. And in a way, when I met Ashton, I was in a place where things were so stable and grounded, so I could actually open up to the idea of something that you usually have at a younger point in your life.
You could play.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to play and explore it. And I, you know, really want to clarify that it wasn't about trying to be young. It has to do with something that was missed, because when I was in my early 20s, the level of survival that I was still living in was extremely high.
But then he disappoints you. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
The truth is I disappointed myself. I certainly would have preferred it went in a different way. But somebody can't do anything to you that you don't or haven't already opened the door to having done to yourself.
You say you were addicted to him.
Oh, definitely.
Put him as a priority over your family, your sobriety.
Yeah.
So where are you now? Obviously, you did a lot of work. Your children very much back in your life.
What I do know now, and a lot of where I'm putting my focus, is in really recognizing the judgments that I hold against myself. And, you know, it's not easy learning to love oneself. And yet, if anything, everything I do is knowing that what I do impacts my children. And how I feel about myself dictates how they feel about themselves. So I have a huge motivating drive to really unearth anything that is a block or a limitation that I call a misunderstanding or a misidentification that's existed in my life, you know, that I'm unworthy.
Because as you did with your mom, they will pick that up as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
And in the same way, recognizing that I, at a certain point, distanced myself from my mother, and in that distancing, lost my compassion for her. And when I lost that, how could I expect my children to hold compassion for me when I'm in a weak or low place, when I lost it for my own mother?
Demi Moore, her new memoir is Inside Out. Demi, thank you so much. Again, it's a gripping read. Thank you.
Thank you.